Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we will soon be celebrating the National Holy Day of Thanksgiving. In all things, we want to give you thanks. We give you thanks for our friends and our family and the warmth and joy that is available to us during this time. We thank you for our riches and abundance and all of life experiences. We ask you for your love to shine on those who have a distance between them and us, like our family and friends that are at a distance. Let those lost people of the world, all the lost people, feel your love so that they may turn with all their heart and their mind to follow you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you remember reading about the beginning of America. We all remember that song. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And yes, that was one beginning. But for me, I think of the beginning of America in 1620, when America began to be settled by families. On the Mayflower, that ship brought those settlers to America. It brought both strong Christians and entrepreneurs. And in my opinion, that was a mix of characteristics that stayed strong in our American spirit for a long, long time after this. Those men and women, primarily of English descent, were not rebels. They just wanted to live a godly life and raise a family, a godly family. And so they left England and the Church of England and went to Holland, where they could be more free to live a godly life. But they saw their children impacted by Dutch society in a way that they didn't care for. So they decided to move to America. And then, in order to leave that port, they had to pay a port tax. And in order to pay that port tax, they had to sell some of their valuables. And one valuable possession that they had was about 100 pounds of butter. See, in those days, butter took very much labor to make, and so butter was very expensive relative to other things. And remember that in those days, they had no machines to make butter. So it was all shaken. It was all formed and made by hand. That made it more expensive. So that group sold the butter to pay their port tax so that they could leave. And then all of those people left on a boat headed for freedom, for America. And that was a two-month voyage that they went on to come to America. And some of the passengers and some of the crew died on that voyage. But let me go back to the butter. The butter that was sold, well, it's a kind of interesting thing because the pilgrims didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough calories to make it through that winter. So about half of them died. And there's a question, if they had been able to keep that butter and the calories that the butter held, would they have survived that winter? An unknown question, but it's something we can wonder about. Yeah. It's kind of interesting that in America, women's rights were promoted as people settled in America. The older countries of Europe or of the rest of the world did not have those considerations, and women did not have anywhere near the rights that a man did. But things were going to be different in America. Let's see, here's two examples. One was in Jamestown in about 1620. And the other example is in California, about 1800. Well, about the Jamestown example, to encourage people to come to Jamestown, there was an offer of free land to any man who came. And then it was realized that women were also valuable in the free world. Oh, yes. So to encourage women to come to Jamestown, Jamestown offered women free land also. So that was one of the dynamics. And then in California, some of those land grants that there were before California was a state, there were Spanish land grants, and some of the people that were granted land had only daughters and no sons. And those important people wanted to have their daughters inherit the land, even if they didn't have a son. So law and tradition in California was changed so that women could have the right to own and inherit land. So America was a land of opportunity for women. And those were two examples of what set that foundation. We've come a long way since those days, and United States of America is very concerned with everyone's rights, and certainly women's rights. There's no doubt about it. We are concerned with the rights of people, and include all people. Well, the pilgrims did respect women's rights also, but it was a little different because they had a sense of order that they understood from the Bible. So women were important and women had rights. It was just a little different. But still, America had rights and privileges that the rest of the world did not have. So that was one of the really wonderful blessings about America. It's a rights milestone of civil rights. Oh, and another milestone of civil rights was the Mayflower Compact. It was one of those early American documents upon which other documents were based, including our constitutional freedoms. And I have a copy of it right here. It'll take about a minute to read, so I will. The Mayflower Compact of 1620. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign, Lord King James of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancements of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and command ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtues hereof to exact, constitute, and frame each just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices, from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. To witness hereof, we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of our Sovereign Lord King James of Scotland, France, Ireland, and Ireland, November 21, 1620. So you can see by that the pilgrims were not rebels and they weren't anarchists. They wanted to be loyal to their civil government, who was King James of England. But their first loyalty was to Jesus, and that sentiment continued. Oh, and there were plenty of people who in the next 150 years shouted, "No king but Jesus." That's a real part of American history, too. But I think the important thing to notice by these all the documents that exist is God is a part of the documents. And we have listened to historians who say that the United States was not a Christian nation or that it was not founded on Christian principles. But I certainly do not agree with them, not at all. I have read copies of original documents and copies of the original letters of correspondence. I clearly recognize that the United States of America was strongly a Christian nation. And the founding fathers of our nation were learned men. They studied a lot of things. And do you remember hearing that when Benjamin Franklin was asked what kind of a government the United States would have, he replied, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it." That was always a concern of keeping the best form of government that we could have. John Adams, the second president of the United States, said, "Our constitutional government was suited only for a moral and religious people, and it is not adequate for the governing of any other." Thomas Jefferson said, "An educated citizenry is vital for our survival as a free people." And another Thomas Jefferson saying was, "For a people to be uneducated and to remain free is something that never was and never will be." So a minute ago, I quoted Benjamin Franklin saying, "We have a republic, madam, if you can keep it." And that made me think of
Dana Coverstone, that Kentucky pastor of modern times, in these last days, has been getting very much attention for the last 8 months because of his prophetic dreams. And about a week ago, he had another dream where a heavenly voice told him in a dream that the United States was no longer a republic. Also in that dream was the earth was being pressured, and that the pressure would be released in good time. It's always interesting to hear the prophetic words of people, and Dana Coverstone is no different. I like to hear his words, and I think they are good to listen to and remember, because a lot of things are either true or in the direction of truth when we hear prophetic words. Oh, let's see. On that same video, that pastor gave some what he called practical advice to buy storable food, to buy guns and ammunition, and to buy silver and gold. So he surely has gotten popular lately, and he has some ideas that resonate with a lot of people. And, of course, maybe that is just the right thing to do. And we do live in interesting times. Another thing he said was that there was a Canadian minister of parliament who said, if you do not take the COVID-19 vaccination, you should not be allowed to work. So it is interesting that there are informed people who say the quote-unquote world reset is planned is planned to start in Canada and to spread to the rest of this entire world. So some people cite the gathering of those elite and powerful people of the world who have a plan of action to dominate the entire world. And these people meet at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where the rich and the powerful of the world meet. Typically, they have about 1,000 fancy private jet planes there, bringing the fancy people to their fancy meetings. So, yeah, like 1,000 jet planes land there, give or take 200 or 300. That's a typical year. So those elite of the world do meet, and they do make plans. I bet Gavin Newsom would like to go to that meeting and hear about the birth. We can hear about that birthday party he went to, where his longtime lobbyist friend was at that exclusive French restaurant in Napa. The entire restaurant was taken over, and those dinners were served. The dinners cost $1,200 per plate. Must have been nice. Oh, yeah, and about that, the reports say that Newsom did not wear a mask at that gathering of clearly more than three households. But, you know, the elite, they often enough make their own rules. So later, Gavin Newsom did apologize, saying, "We all fall short sometime, and I need to do better." That's what he said. What can you say except special people get special privileges, right? The important people do not have to adhere to the same rules that us regular people have to follow and adhere to. I think about how Governor Gavin Newsom is so very, very limiting of the church attendance. You know, the restrictions on the churches. And I think that politicians just do not realize how much we all need spiritual nourishment from the God of the Bible. So I get concerned when I think about what God did to ancient Egypt when Pharaoh did not let Moses and the Hebrew people go to freely worship God. I see this as a strong parallel, and that makes me concerned for us, our state, our nation. And another problem is that our United States is doing things that God says he hates. Proverbs 30:15, it lists seven things which God hates. Haughty eyes. Oh, you know, that's a prideful look where people look down on other people. So he hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent. Yeah. A heart that plots evil. Feet that run to do wrong. And a liar, or one who causes discord. So I look at those things as being the opposite of loving our neighbor. And I'm very concerned for our country. I'm concerned for the babies that are being aborted. I know that I was born 3 months premature, and that was a long time ago. I weighed 3 pounds at birth. So I feel an empathy with those lives that are being lost of aborted babies. I just feel it. Plus, I look at the soldiers that were killed in wars, and I think of all these innocent lives that have been lost because of government decisions, government decrees. So, lives lost by the millions. So I don't know when God will give us recompense, but it sounds pretty serious to me that we're going to get the consequences of our actions. And I wonder if COVID-19 is a part of it. I just wonder. I don't know. You know about two COVID vaccines? They just came out, and they are said to be over 90% effective. And I hope you realize that those are still pretty much experimental vaccines. They have not been out long enough to have long-term trials. And are you aware that last week on CNN, there was a report from the Mayo Clinic, a study that showed that babies and toddlers under the age of 2 who had received one dose of antibiotics had a much higher risk of developing later in childhood, that they would develop asthma, eczema, hay fever, food allergies, celiac disease, problems with weight and obesity, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That's just from one vaccine under the age, I'm sorry, one antibiotic. One antibiotic received under the age of two. So, and if the child was given more than one antibiotic treatment, there was a multiplication of the symptoms. That was from the Mayo Clinic. And so now, what are we doing? We are having who knows what injected into our body with a COVID vaccine. Well, I don't mean we are, but it's not that far away. And it has gone, undergone no long-term trials. But we're still putting it into our bodies. Oh, too many people will. So I just wonder if those doctors and those scientists really can make our body work better than the body that God gave us. You know, there are a few religious groups that do not vaccinate, Let's see, there's some fundamental Islam groups that do not vaccinate, and there are a very few fundamental Christian groups that do not vaccinate, like the Amish. About 5 years ago, I remember reading an article about the Amish children having very, very few cases of autism. And it was said because they would not vaccinate. And then there were more cases that happened among the Amish children. And one research paper said that those children in the Amish community who developed autism were adopted from an outside group. And in order to be adopted, the state required those children to be vaccinated. And it is said that those are the ones who developed autism. Interesting study. So, oh yes, I do have concerns about the ingredients in vaccinations, and that includes the COVID vaccinations. Lots of questions for what those ingredients are. Well, don't we live in interesting times? Yes, we do. Okay, so what else you have heard about that great reset, and if we will ever get back to normal after the great reset, or even right now? Oh, last week, the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, in pretty much these words, said he did not believe that we would go back to normal. And that means ever. So there are many people wanting to have a good old-fashioned traditional Thanksgiving and Christmas, but the governor says no. And we all comply to the government's and the governor's regulation. Yes, and why do we comply? Because we are afraid. And I hope you remember that when you say you want your Thanksgiving and Christmas to and your church worship services to become normal again, well, just ask yourself, are you complying with what you're told to do or not? I don't know. You make a choice when you comply, and you have to really decide how important these things are, to have those traditional Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays, or your normal church service. How important is it to you? And I do understand social pressure, but do realize that you are making a choice. I just heard this true story of a woman who, among her own group, an online group, invited anyone who did not have a place to go for Thanksgiving to come to her place. And it was a limited group of people with the same interests, and this woman was lambasted, just raked over the coals for making that offer. And she was accused of killing people who might get the virus. So that's what she got for having compassion for the lonely people in her group. So, yes, people are afraid. They're afraid. I think back to this is many years ago, I had conversations with my dad about his experience going through the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. At that time, history said there were 675,000 deaths in the United States, when the population was a third of what it is today. The population at that time was 110 million. And at that time, my dad told about the wagons that would come by in the residential areas and pick up the bodies that were placed on the curb for a mass burial. Now, that was a pandemic. And our government did not have to tell anyone to stay in their home. People knew what to do. They knew what they should be doing, and they did it without a government mandate. So, I guess people don't know how to take care of themselves today. Huh? Maybe. Well, apparently so. But there's a reason that people are afraid. They are pretty much afraid to die. And why not? Because it's something we've never done before. It's a brand new experience to die. But remember Paul in Philippians 1, where he says, to die in Christ is gain. And we're told in Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for those that love him. Yeah, that sounds like heaven to me. And it sounds really good. So let us not be fearful. Yeah, even Revelation 21:8 says, do not be fearful. Because we are all going to die. We know that. And I hope you know Jesus well enough that you can hardly wait to meet him. Not too soon, but in the correct time, you get to meet Jesus. But meanwhile, we go through this life. So let us do the very best we know how to live a life that is pleasing to God Jesus. No matter what the coming days will be like, let us decide in our heart to live for Jesus. Let us use our mind to plan and to act and to live for Jesus. In good times and as bad, both, whatever the time is, that is what we want to do. A minute ago, I mentioned the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, saying that he did not believe we would go back to be normal. If he is right, we had better figure out what we are willing to stand for now and in the future. So, do we want to have that old-fashioned Thanksgiving and Christmas? Or are you going to listen to Gavin Newsom and other governors who say we're not going to go back to normal? Well, there's a lot of things to decide and a lot of things to figure out how we are going to act and what we're going to do. We all have decisions to make. And if that great reset is a part of what is coming, then we had better get our decisions lined up.
If you recall, on November 7th, I read that open letter from Carlo Vigano to President Trump, dated October 25th, 2020. I mention him again now because I told of how the Great Reset would take away our freedom and even put us into health-related internment camps.
And so we have choices to make. We have decisions to make. And everything has an effect upon something else. And we just need to remember that, realize that that everything we do affects something else. So let's be wise. Let us first be faithful to God through Jesus Christ, because that is really the ultimate answer to everything, is to be faithful to God through Jesus Christ. But I thought that letter was a good example of how close we really could be to a new system. Call it the Great Reset if you want. That's what he called it. I have been surprised by the feedback that I have gotten from reading that letter. It was a lot of feedback. So I encourage anyone to look it up online, the letter from Carlo Vigano to President Trump, an open letter dated October 25th, 2020. I was surprised at the feedback I received about what he said. There was a lot of feedback, and it was good that people are paying attention and listening. So it made me think of various prophetic people who prophesied. Some of them prophesied that the United States would be militarily occupied. And so it makes me kind of concerned. Let's see, who said that? There was David Wilkerson, Dimitri Dudeman, Chuck Jungbent, Henry Groover. There were others too, lesser known people who testified to the same thing. I'd never heard their names before, but there were quite a few of them who also said that the Americans would be occupied militarily. So I wonder, will it happen? Will it really? I wonder. And when will it be? So, yeah, I don't know. I wonder about it, and I think of George Washington's vision. And you can look that up, where America was attacked by forces, evil forces across the ocean that came to America and attacked America. Those forces almost destroyed America, but Americans fought for their lives, and finally Americans pushed out the invaders after a long and serious fight. So is that in our future? Oh, I don't know. But I certainly don't know when anything would happen. But it does make me think when I hear notable people or notably prophetic people talk about those kind of things. Yes, I pay attention, and I wonder. One thing about those prophetic people is they are all getting older right now, and it seems from what they had said that such an invasion would happen in their lifetime, and they're all getting old. So it makes me wonder about the time frame. We don't know the time frame. We don't even know it'll happen. But I think it's something that we can all put a little attention to. We have strange times going on right now. One of the things that is going on around the world is natural disasters. And rivers are rushing down city streets. They're carrying cars away. And that's what has happening in some cities. In other cities, the entire city is flooded with a couple of feet of water. Yeah, that's going on in the Philippines. Carrying cars away. It's going on in Turkey. I shouldn't say it's going on, but in the last month it has gone on. In Turkey, in India, in Spain, in the Dominican Republic, in Mexico, Brazil, Guatemala, Honduras, and in China also. China has been hit pretty hard by floods, and I still wonder what the Chinese are going to do when they get desperate for food, because all the flooding has destroyed a large portion of their food crop. I wonder if they will fight other countries to get the food that's there. So, China has a lot of disturbances going on in it right now, and it's having effects of other things, like there's a government wheat farm, a grain farm, that just went bankrupt. So they're having little problems here and there in China. And then the Chinese government canceled a wheat purchase from Australia. Why? Because they wanted to punish Australia. But yes, and it did. But don't they know that it will also punish the Chinese people who won't have enough wheat? Yeah. It's interesting things going on in China. Another thing that happened this year in China is that 390,000 officials were punished for corruption. That's this year. Yes, and some lost their jobs and some lost their lives and serious stuff. Losing your job in China is pretty serious because the government allows people to get jobs. There is no free enterprise in China. Everything is government controlled. So if you lose your job in China, you might never get a real job again. And in that case, you have to rely on your family, your relatives, to feed you. See, that's what happens in a government-controlled society. And that's why some people are opposed to the Communist Party, and some people are a part of the Communist Party, so they can be promoted. I remember my relatives in Germany. When Russia took over the eastern section of Germany, a few of my relatives did not want to leave their home and their farm. So when the Russians came in, they stayed. And by the way, when the Russians came in, I think that every woman in the East Zone was raped. It was a terrible thing. Anyway, a few years after the Berlin Wall went up and the Iron Curtain went up, my relatives still did not want to have anything to do with the Communist Party. And they were mostly teachers, and they would tell how they were repeatedly passed up for promotions because they would not join the Communist Party. So I just mean that those things go on in the world. And that's a part of the power structure that's going on in communist countries, including China. So these days we see one of the things that's going on is the world is getting a little bit crazy. And we're getting COVID restrictions all over. And these COVID restrictions are cutting back on the amount of food that is available. There's a great big range in the estimates of the number of people who will die of hunger in the next year because of the COVID restrictions, so that farming is not done and food is not produced. Let's see, worldwide, there is a big range in the number of people who will die, who will starve. It goes from 6 to 20 million, and there is even one estimate that's 29 million people will starve because of this COVID problem. The United Nations agrees. I don't remember their number right now, but they do see starvation as a problem that's going to face us in the next year. So we don't know the whole answer to this problem, but we also don't know that it will be a problem for the United States, but it could be. There are people who are reporting shortages of food even now in the United States. It could be true. It really could. We could have shortages any time because of our system of supply. And if you remember earlier this year, we had shortages of toilet paper and paper towels. Yep. Oh, and there was also shortages of food that could be stored long term, especially canned meat. So, can hunger happen here? Yeah, it really could. So I've been surprised lately at the number of people who are expecting chaos to come into our lives next year. I wonder too, because I see it both ways. I could see where it could happen and where it could not at all happen. So I just wonder about it. It does make sense to me, though, to have some simple, long-lasting food for the just-in-case. And to me, those are beans and rice, white rice, that is. And I like wheat, too. But especially, everybody can get white rice and beans, and also sugar, salt, and oil, and vitamins. And for the wheat, I like the manual wheat grinder because you can make bread and or porridge. So the list of all the things that you would want can be endless. So just look at what you really want. And also know that we all start our list somewhere. And we all start our preparations somewhere. You don't have to have everything all at one time. All you have to do is start on it. It might be with some white rice, a bucket of white rice. It might be with a dozen batteries. And batteries are good both to have and to trade. And with batteries, don't ever store them in your flashlight or your radio or anything else, because for some reason, batteries tend to corrode. So store them separately from your device. And that will save you a lot of grief. But think of what your basic needs are for preparedness. And of course, I think of water and a water filter and food and warmth. And warmth starts with having layers of clothes. And that means to me, have some pants that are too big in case you have to wear several shirts, and have some pants that are too small in case you lose weight, and a couple of belts. Have a cap that covers your ears, and walking shoes or boots. A good thick warm coat, and a waterproof covering or a waterproof coat. And I know that we're in California and we do not have the same snowy cold weather like other parts of the country do, but we're not accustomed to that kind of cold either. So we still need plenty of warm clothes even if we live in California. After all, every one of us wants to stay warm and dry. And if our electricity goes off, that is a challenge to stay warm, especially if we do not have an alternative heat source like a wood stove. But be aware that our main source of heat is our body heat. If there ever is an outage, we have to stay warm. We have to conserve our heat and stay covered. That's what you would be very careful about if there was an electrical outage, to maintain your body warmth. Even to the point of having your family stay in a small room and even sleep in that small room, because that room will stay warmer than any other room if you're all together. An alternative to that is to put up a tent inside and sleep in the tent, because again, there you're conserving your heat. It's staying within that tent. So it is hard for all of us to imagine what we might need if there was an emergency situation, because we just don't think about it. We don't think about things going wrong. We don't think about what we would need. But it's a good idea to think a little about it, or to read a list. There's lots of lists out there, and probably the first thing on everyone's list is food and water, water and food. But let's see, there's this other government list here. It includes some things like a NOAA weather radio that is crank or battery powered, a flashlight with plenty of batteries. And by the way, batteries will always be used for trading. Okay, copies of your identification, bank accounts, insurance, medical, and ownership documents. And if you're on a medication, have a few days or a week of medication with you. Have dust masks, personal hygiene, and currency in small bills. Spare clothes and blankets, a physical map. The contact information of friends and family, written on paper. And a cell phone charger. Remember that your phone numbers of neighbors and businesses that you might need if you have to establish or repair your home. Have an extra set of house keys and car keys. If you have a baby, baby supplies and children's games. Have a pet carrier with your pet supplies, and a propane camp stove and a cook pot. Soap and hand warmers, and a variety of hand tools and duct tape. So that's kind of a list put together to remind us all what we just might need if there is that lights out kind of an emergency that comes up. Oh, you can also think of a few other things like your Bible or another book maybe. I think knives are really handy, too, just to have your own pocket knife and a knife sharpener. I think those are important. And if you are going to be collecting firewood, then a bucksaw and a hatchet or axe, those are also good. And a first aid kit. So, those are just a few things to think of. Huh, yeah, I said soap. Soap is often overlooked as something to remember, but it's so nice, both the bar soap and the dish soap and the laundry soap. For flashlights, I like to have two. One dull flashlight that lasts a very long time on a set of batteries, and one flashlight that is bright and would have kind of a narrow beam that you could see a good distance with. And you'd use the dull one mostly, but it's nice to have that bright light also. You don't know if there ever is an emergency situation, what it would take to get new supplies to you, and that includes batteries. So you have to always consider that. And if you have children, they might need a flashlight too. Again, have a dull flashlight so that it has a very long battery life. It's not unusual for children to leave flashlights on overnight. So if it's a flashlight with one battery, I think that's a good choice too. Well, today I didn't talk about a lot of things. I didn't talk about the economy that could be, well, it could be pretty collapsing at some point. It really could. We get all the indicators, but we don't know. But it sure could. And so give it some thought for what you would do if our economy really did have a collapse, or if that great reset went on. Because that great reset is also a form of collapse. It is to reorganize everybody when they have nothing. So, yeah, look at that one. Just give it some consideration for what you would do if it did happen. And know that there's plenty of people who want it to happen. So it's not such an odd or unusual thing to think about an economic collapse, which is what the Great Reset is. And again, you can read that Carlo Vigano letter to President Trump. It's, like I said, it got a lot of attention, more than I would have expected. But recognize that we could have a huge upset in our economy. Plenty of people are viewing this as what could happen with the coming beast system, with the Great Reset turning into the beast system. At least know that it is a possibility, because it surely is. We are having lots of events happen in the world that we never thought would happen, and they're happening. I just thought of another one that's happening. I don't know how we could have had U.S. troops in Syria. And it was basically, the troop level was kept a secret from citizens and also the president. So I just have to wonder, how can all these things happen? We must be in the end times. Well, we are, but what portion of the end times? That is something we all have an idea about. There's plenty of things going on that should cause us to be cautious. So be careful about information that is misleading, and search things out. Take a little effort and a little time to do it, because there's a lot going on around us, including treachery. And that means we ought to trust no man. Instead, we trust God, Jesus. So how do you do that? By having that spiritual relationship with God, Jesus. That's what you want to have a focus on. Focus on the good of God, and have prayer, a prayerful life with Bible reading. And that way, when we recognize something in front of us, we have a better idea what to do, because the Bible has advised us with its examples. So devote time and attention to God, Jesus, pray, read, and think about what the Bible is saying. And then show your devotion to God, Jesus, with how much time you give him and how you relate to other people also. Well, I hope you do, and may God bless you as you search to know his understanding. For my free preparedness pamphlet, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I will send that right back to you, to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember to be thankful to our God, Jesus. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.
Give me passion that pours out to every nation. Yeah. Shine your light, I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am no more. Let me live inside your see.